The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Baton Rouge, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is here as well. We get tweets, Kelly. Let's start there. By the way, this hour, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke in Southern California to talk baseball postseason with us and beyond, by the way. He's got other things to say about the NFL, and he's got a Jerome Bulger rule. So he's got something he wants to talk about there, okay. Too. Jerome was the ref in that Tampa Bay Atlanta game.
I thought you were about to say Jerome Bettis. I was like, okay.
No.
That might be interesting.
Pete Futak on college football. Young Gil would like to say something about Nick Saban. Mark Borch here standing by on baseball, but we get tweets, and Kelly, I'm going to go bypass all of Web12-66's angriest guy in New Jersey tweets. We appreciate angriest guy in New Jersey. You are angry this morning.
He's one of my favorites.
He's awesome. Phil Weiss, who's another one who's ornery in the morning. No Filter 37. He says, this is all in capitals, so you know he's serious. He says, I love the Todd Wright objection. This is from King R. Jack. He says, we've done three catching positions in our league for almost 20 years. Any combo of three wide receivers and tight ends you want. One owner started Kelce and Anders this week. Love the weekly hit from Todd Wright. And then Mark Geiger, our resident attorney. He should be on the numbers game payroll, shouldn't he, at this point?
Ambulance chaser's out again.
Mark Geiger, who says, all local Kansas City and Las Vegas private investigator attorneys, PI, is that what he means by PI attorneys? I would imagine. Lining up to represent the guy Devontae Adams knocked over last night. They can sue in Las Vegas or Kansas City. I'd recommend Kansas City, where Raiders are hated, although Raiders soon to be hated in Las Vegas. Sound guy has already filed police report. I love the law and the lottery, he said.
Yeah, just saw that come down on TMZ. The photographer did file a police report last night, had to be taken to the hospital after that Devontae Adams hit.
Did he really?
Apparently.
Really? He went to the hospital.
Went to the hospital.
Okay. Michael Lafont. Gil, it's never talked about, but John Madden threatened to do exactly what your guest Todd Wright said Arthur Smith might have done. He threatened to take the Raiders off the field if they didn't redo third down on the famous play in 1970 after Ben Davidson's late hit on Len Dawson. You remember that one, Kelly?
Oh, yeah.
When Ben Davidson knocked down Len Dawson?
Sure, that one, yeah.
Good knowledge from Michael Lafont, by the way. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Harkening back to 1970. Mark Borchardt is here as well, ladies and gentlemen, to talk some baseball. A quadruple header division series game ones, or is that games one? Never know. And, of course, the division series prices from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. How you doing, Mark?
Gil, as Vegas runner would say, never batter.
And, shout out to VR.
I love VR, but I mean the wild card series couldn't have been any better for me. In fact,
me too.
I think it was. I wanted to ask you how did you do?
Well, Kelly refuses to show me all my green check marks there, but it was a boon. It was a windfall because I had the Mariners in the series and bet the Mariners both games. I had the Padres in the series, bet them all games. The Chris Guccione game I lost because he refused to let the Padres win game two. I lost the only losses I had there's a little look at them right there on the screen. I lost. Let's just go through the only losses I had. I lost the Chris Guccione game two, where I think the game felt rigged. I lost an in-game on the Cardinals and the Phillies in game one when the Cardinals scored all those runs late. And then I lost the Cardinals in game two. So really that was it. Everything else, like, you know, Cleveland, Tampa Bay under in game two. I just kept pounding the same teams. Oh, by the way, I tried to get cute with St. Louis on an adjusted series price after game one. But everything else went my way. You too, huh?
Yeah, it was incredible, Gil. I mean, I put out six plays on the charts. They all won. The series pricing for me, I got three out of four series. And the one series, I like the Mets to lose the first game and win the series. And that came pretty close. But I mean, and I feel like I got a lot of luck, too. I thought that Philadelphia game at the end was lucky. But, like, you know, what are they going to do with Helsley? Everybody's saying they should have pulled Helsley.
I do. I thought they should have.
But who are they going to go to? Like, I mean.
I'll tell you what Spore said. They should have kept Gallegos in was his thing. He was like, he didn't really understand why they went away from him.
Yeah, no, I would agree. Definitely agree with that. I mean, and you have to think that they kind of knew his injury status, and that's one of those things where sometimes as a handicapper, you never really get the truth. I mean, what are these guys going to say? Oh, I'm kind of banged up, but I'm going to go out and give it my best shot. They never say that. They're, oh, yeah, I'm ready to go. I feel good. So I think that's hard. Those injuries are kind of difficult to handicap. But I felt like I got lucky in that game. Felt like I got lucky, obviously, in the Seattle game when they were down 8-1.
Yes, we got lucky in that one.
And you know what? You can say, well, I'm like, Toronto was not the best bullpen, and I handicapped it. But that's just luck. That's all that is.
Pure
I mean,
luck.
Even a – Yeah. Even the worst bullpen in baseball, the Diamondbacks bullpen could have held that. And maybe it's just Seattle just had the mojo in that particular game. So, but anyway, long story short, it was the best playoffs round that I've had, I think, ever as a handicapper. I mean, it couldn't be any better.
Might be for me, too. And then for me, again, it was on the heels of one of the great betting stretches with the Braves. I just kept pounding the Braves to win the NL East. So for me, it's all gravy at this point. But now it's the division series. And these are a little funky because, I mean, all four series, you have a massive favorite. And in all game ones, you have a massive favorite. Again, $2 or greater. And so it's a little quirky in that respect. What do you like? Let's just do it chronologically, and you can talk about game one of the series. Let's start with the Phillies and the Braves. Again, it's Suarez against Fried. And both in the game, which is right around teetering around minus 200, we're showing minus 195 on the board for Fried, and the Braves north of a $2 favorite in the series. What have you bet here? What are you thinking of betting?
Okay, well, the model likes the game, the Phillies in this game. I've got the Braves priced at minus 162, and I modeled the series, and the model likes the Phillies in the series. I've got the Braves with a minus 143 in the series. The thing is, Gil, it's like these things are so hard to price. And I think coming off a really good round, I'm really apprehensive to pull the trigger on a lot of this. I can tell you how I priced it. Personally, I don't have a bet on this particular game. And I don't think I'm going to bet the series either.
Yeah.
It's hard to step in front of that Braves bullpen. I don't like the way Philly's bullpen looked. Although they won the two games, there were some shaky moments there for that bullpen. And I think that the Braves have a lot better bullpen. So I'm gonna abstain from doing anything pretty much today or in the series on that particular matchup.
I am with you. I don't have a bet in game one. I don't have a bet on the series, but I do have Braves World Series tickets. Multiple Braves series World Series tickets to win it all at 6-1 or greater. Game two today now. We go to Houston. It's Justin Verlander pitching for the Astros. The Astros are big favorites in game one, minus 220. They're also even bigger favorites in most shops. Always shop around, though, on the series. I do not have a play. As much as I loved the Mariners in the wild card round and bet them in the games and the series, I'm not touching them here. You.
And I'm with you. I've got it priced at minus 173, which would indicate value in this game on Seattle. And the series price, I've got Houston priced at minus 134, which would indicate value on the Mariners in the series. So why am I not taking the Mariners? I think that for me, what's super important in these playoff series is the quality of the bullpens. And Houston's bullpen's been really good over the last 30 days by my three metric charts: swinging strike percentage, balls divided by pitches. They're third overall out of the 30 teams in baseball. And then looking at the last 100 plate appearances, strikeout percentage, and aggregate of their bullpen, you look at their top guys, they're at 36.3% compared, and that's number two in baseball. Seattle's not bad at 32.8%, Dodgers number one, 39.5%. But I don't want to step in front of a bullpen that is that good in this particular series. I'm gonna pass on this one as well.
Yeah, I am too, and I think the Astros are getting to the World Series, where I think the Braves will beat them, but that's a whole other story. Now, here's where I do have bets. We get to Game 3. It's the Yankees and the Guardians. I already bet the Guardians in the series at plus 192. I've said for a few weeks I can't wait to bet against the Yankees in the Division Series. I haven't yet made a Game 1 bet on the Guardians yet, but I probably will, quite frankly, by game time. What do you feel here in this game where it's Gerrit Cole going up against Cal Quantrill? 6.5 the total.
I'm going to pass on the game. I do have the pricing advantage. I've got the Yankees at minus 171. So it's pretty close there, but it would give the advantage to Cleveland. Cal Quantrill's been kind of a puzzle for me. I don't really have him rated well in the model. He's 4% better than average, which is not bad, but I like Cole. I've got Cole at 32% better than average. You look at the Cole base winner ERA, and he's sitting at 2.60. compared to Quantrill at 4.60. But I do like the Indians in the series, and I'm going to make the Indians a play in the series. I've got this particular series priced really all pretty close to a pick'em. I've got the Yankees winning 54% of the time the series. And so getting value, I think it was like plus 185 on Cleveland. I think that's pretty good value. You know, I talk a lot about playoff bullpens, and you look at these the bullpen comparisons. You know, Cleveland number one in that three metric chart versus the Yankees 11 out of 30 teams. And then there's a couple other rating sets I have where Cleveland's third and fifth out of the 12 teams that have bullpens in these playoffs, and the Yankees 12th and 12th out of the 12 teams that made the playoffs. So, so we get a huge advantage in the bullpen there. The problem that I have with pricing it is maybe, you know, the pitching rotation, trying to figure that out.
All right, and then finally, Clevinger versus Urias. The Dodgers, big favorites in Game 1, big favorites in the series. I have made a Padres series bet. I have not bet Game 1 yet, but might you?
I'm going to pass on the series. I've got the Dodgers in the series at minus 171 from a pricing standpoint. Today, I like the over. I've got this game priced at 9 runs. The over-under's 7. You can probably get it over-juiced a little bit. You know, one of the things that I just wanted to mention real quick is Urias. He's 7th highest in curveball usage among starting pitchers. The Padres, since the trade deadline, 3rd best team in linear weights versus the curveball.
There
so that, in addition to modeling it, I've got that going for me in the over.
Mark, enjoy. What a day. Should be fun. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Gil. My pleasure.
At BaseWinner, BaseWinner.com. College football guessing lines next, and I got a Heisman pick I made. A bet next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NASCAR playoffs are in full swing. Bet you didn't know that, Kelly. It's time to see all your favorite drivers in fabulous Las Vegas. Who's your favorite driver, Kelly? Okay. The South Point 400 is this
weekend. Brendan Gaughan, of course.
Oh,
come on.
There you go. South Point 400 is this weekend, October 14th through the 16th at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Our own Brent Musburger is going to be the grand marshal of the race. And also broadcast from the track Sunday morning on Brent Musburger's Countdown to Kickoff. That should be fun. Before the action on the track, come down to the South Point Hotel and Casino on Thursday, October 13th, that's the day after tomorrow, to see the Budweiser Clydesdales and meet Mark Martin in his inaugural Las Vegas 400 winning car. Also, special appearances by Brendan Gaughan. How about that?
Yeah, on Big Bets today.
And Las Vegas native Noah Gragson. South Point also has room and ticket packages available. For more information, head to southpointcasino.com.
South Point currently has not just one, but two NASCARs out here. Are they NASCARs? Can you say that? Are they NASCAR cars?
I don't know if you do.
NASCAR stock cars? Is that what we're supposed to say?
We got two NASCARs out here.
There's two NASCARs in the South Point, though.
Boy, if there's two things Kelly Bidlin knows. It's NASCAR and college football, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. Fired up, Isaiah. Come on, give me it.
Oh, we're in there now?
Let's go. I thought it was a great lead. Yes, it was. Step aside, Gil. I'm in college football. Just, should I guess South Point 400 numbers too?
Literally, there was like a reflex. Just push me out of the way. All right.
That was a good intro.
It was a good intro. I was going to read some tweets and texts, but okay, we'll do this first. Sure.
Got tweets?
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll do them later. Guessing lines college football style with Kelly Bidlin.
Let's go.
Hold on. This is serious.
Yeah.
What was your record, quote unquote, last week?
I forget what I titled it. What was it? 4-1 on the Kelly Bidlin College Football Guessing Lines Value Plays of the Week. So the value play system of the week.
The way that your lines led?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
All right.
So, you know, for example, the Alabama one I was 10 points off on, but I made them like a 14.5 point favorite.
Right.
So there was clear value on the dog.
Clearly.
Dog covered easily.
Okay, so 5 games that Kelly is going to guess college football lines on. Again, I do this for 2 hours on Monday. The least we could do is give Kelly 5 games.
That's right.
On Tuesday. All right, first, you ready?
Let's go.
Air Force at UNLV, little local flavor.
Yep, Air Force, UNLV. I feel like, is this the second week in a row we've done UNLV? And I think I had a bet on him.
Wyatt tries to, he tries to put UNLV in every one of these.
Wyatt's sneaking UNLV. Yeah. Yep, UNLV kids here. Okay, all right. I got this one. UNLV blown out last week by San Jose. Beat Utah State. Air Force lost to Utah State last week, Gil.
You don't know.
No, I know that much. I don't know what it means, but I know they lost. UNLV pickup is what I set this at. I think UNLV, I think they're the better team looking at their schedule and results. So I set it up a pick'em. We'll see what the actual MGM line is, but
Air Force is a 10-point favorite. So no, not close.
All right, well, value on UNLV then.
Value on UNLV, clearly. Let's go to
get them running reps.
Let's go to number two.
There's multiple in here, Gil. Spoiler that I'm like, I don't know, pick them.
All right, let's go to teams you might be more familiar with, the Big Ten.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Wisconsin and Michigan State. Wisconsin at Michigan State.
Yeah, I caught up a lot on these two teams doing research last night. Michigan State 2-0 versus the MAC, 0-4 in the Big Ten. That's not good, Gil.
No, it's not.
Wisconsin bouncing back after I heard they got their coach fired. Paul Chryst, he did lift.
Got their coach fired.
Yeah,
that's true.
Coach fired. They beat Northwestern, always that spot people talk about right after the coach gets fired. Both got blown out by Ohio State. Have to think Wisconsin's got a little bit more talent on the team, though. I'm going to go Wisconsin 6.5. Wisconsin -6.5 is my line for this game.
The BetMGM line for this tussle.
I'm screwing this up. Isaiah told me to always do the guess first so they have time to actually get the MGM line.
Look at you, Kelly Bidlin.
Hey, here we go.
Wisconsin by 7 in the hook, but close. All right.
So take the points with MSU.
What's about the expression about the clock and the sun twice a day? Never mind.
Yeah.
All right, number three here. There's five of these. By the way, I have a we should do this where you have carte blanche based on how you rammed this into the show right here. You should have carte blanche to do this at any point of a show all week. We're doing college football guessing line.
We're getting on board. We're doing it right now.
LSU at Florida, SEC.
All right, Gators, I like this team. I'm high on them. The power ratings are high. The Kelly Bidlin power rating is high on this team. Only losses to Kentucky and Tennessee. LSU blown out by Tennessee last week. Lost a horrible Florida State week one. No real impressive wins here. I got Florida 7.5-point favorites at home at the Swamp. Is this a night game? I don't even know if it's a night game. I wanted to say it's Swamp at night, but I don't know that it is.
7 p.m. Eastern.
Okay, there we go. Uh-huh. So, yeah. Bad. Night game's going to be hopping there in the Swamp. I got Florida 7.5-point favorites. BetMGM line.
Florida -2.5. Our Baton Rouge affiliate.
Man, I'm hammering this game.
Not happy with you down in Baton Rouge right now.
I'm hammering Florida Gators 2.5.
LSU did get crushed by Tennessee. Like, that game was over early. All right, two more. Pardon me. Here's a second to last one. We have an obscure one coming up, I think. Oh no, maybe not. We couldn't find a line on the one we wanted to get.
You told me that game yesterday. I'm like, I don't know you're gonna be able to find a line on that, but okay.
Pac-12, SC and Utah.
Okay, this one's been talked about all season long. Utah pick'em at home, hosting USC. Let's see. We've got Utah off the tough loss to UCLA last week. Otherwise, they've kind of taken care of business outside of that opening loss to Florida. USC perfect so far, but not too tough a competition. Huge home field advantage for Utah, I believe, Gil. That's what they say. I think that's what they say. So I got Utah as a pick'em.
Who are they?
I don't know. People in college football.
Utah -3.5. You sold the Utes a little short.
Okay.
Value on SC is what you're saying.
Yeah, value on SC, I guess.
Okay. And then finally, This is the one that we this is what we ended up with? I didn't know that. All right. Baylor at West Virginia.
I set this one. Baylor 3 is my guess for the week. West Virginia off a bye week. Gotta keep that in mind. After losing to Texas, also lost to Pitt and Kansas earlier this year, but those were close games, Gil. Baylor off lost to OK State. Haven't beat many good teams. But I think I heard preseason that this West Virginia team's really bad. So I got Baylor laying 3 on the road.
Kelly's got Baylor laying 3. It's Baylor -3.5.
Whoa!
Look at you. All right, so the worst one was the first one, right?
Yeah.
The 10-point
difference. Yeah, it was 10 points off on that, yeah.
On the UNLV game. All right.
I was single digits on the rest, right?
That's Guessing Lines with Kelly Bidlin, ladies and gentlemen. We workshopped about 20 different titles, and that's what we came up with. Guessing Lines with Kelly Bidlin on college football. We do get tweets and texts at Beating the Book. Always appreciate.
You want to go over your Heisman bet?
Well, we will. I'll get to that after that, because I do have a Heisman bet, which, by the way, you responded by saying I have no idea who.
Yeah,
that
we should have included that in guessing lines, because I had no idea who it is.
Okay, this is from, let's see. Oh, Robert Busa. He says Reno Gambler 50. Question: when you refer to Mr. Weingarten under a cloud of smoke, are you referring to weed smoking? Since the fires were up north this year, let me just give you a little story about that. John Goulet, who's our program director? What's his title? What's
yeah, program director.
Czar of the festivities, whatever his title. Yeah. He said that before, when he got the job at VSiN,
content czar.
He was listening to the shows, and he was in Southern California, and he's listening, and I go, yeah. And now from under a cloud of smoke, Jason White, he was like, "What is he talking about? It's so sunny out here."
Yeah, yeah. Jason Weingarten, no, he's a firefighter. He's constantly
he's
out
a
there.
Firefighter. That's right. Okay, this is, let's see here. Oh, Web12-66. I will read one of his tweets. He said, Joe Torre said the worst mistake he ever made was not pulling the Yankees off the field with that whole insect thing against Cleveland. You mean the midges?
Oh, yeah.
The Jabba Chamberlain thing. You know, they had a little problem with that this weekend in Cleveland with the football game. Midges were everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. That was wild.
The other thing that's nice about this show is that the people who are on the show or on the network often are listening. Lou Finicaro texted in, Gamble Lou, nicest man in the world. Gil, the second part to the Ben Davidson hit on Len Dawson was Otis Taylor running 50 yards down the field and blindsiding Ben Davidson and creating a melee.
Ooh, sure an old-fashioned Donnybrook?
Sure wasn't an old-fashioned Donnybrook?
I mean, that's another play. Who can forget that, you know?
Chris Felica, the Bear, who's live texting the show.
Oh, boy.
He didn't like it when Paul Sporer said he's taking Seattle over Houston. He says, stop being cute. Seattle isn't beating Houston.
Oh, no greeting from Felica on my guessing lines this week. Okay.
Yeah, we'll get there. He says he also can't wait for the NBA alternate season win total segment. He says Vancouver Grizzlies over, Seattle Supersonics under.
I like them. Those are strong plays, Chris.
He says he's going to get cute and wait for the Guardians to lose today and then bet them for the series if they lose. So here's my Heisman. Here's my Heisman play. And I know it's a 100-to-1 shot, but I made a Heisman bet on Max Duggan of TCU. With all of these, you look for a path and you say to yourself, okay, I mean, is CJ Stroud the leader in the clubhouse? Sure. But is there a way that if, you know, something goes wrong there, is there a way for Max Duggan to get there, TCU's quarterback? And the answer for me is, yeah, there's a way. He shouldn't be 100-to-1. Let's put it that way. And if TCU, and this is a big if, because they got to win this week just to begin with a stretch here, Big 12 games, or to continue the stretch of Big 12 games after the win over Kansas. But he's putting up very large numbers, and if TCU can remain undefeated, I don't know, an invite to New York might be in the offing. I'm just saying, at 100-to-1, I couldn't resist. Undefeated TCU, Max Duggan, 100-to-1. That is a bet in pocket. We'll ask Pete Futak about that. And, oh, I've got things to say about Nick Saban and TCU, the way they play the ends of their games. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Basketball season is ready to tip off, and now's the time to grab your VSiN Pro Basketball Betting Guide with season prep on all 30 teams. Our hoops experts, including Jonathan Von Tobel, JVT, back in the fold. Provide strategy and advice as well as predictions for conference winners, win totals, playoff teams, and player awards. We also got 5 betting tips for beginning NBA bettors. Give yourself an edge this NBA season and get the VSiN NBA betting guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. By the way, you see the Ron Rivera press conference yesterday when some intrepid reporter asked him, hey, Ron, coach, what do you think the reason is that your team is so far behind the other 3 teams in the NFC East? I'm paraphrasing.
Quarterback.
Bruh. You traded for this dude. Quarterback?
Did I see a story then later, too, about how he's not blaming it on Carson Wentz? It's like, wait, what?
Oh, he walked it back, for sure. But, like, I was like, oh, we're just going to be, like, straight up quarterback. Yes. And it should be noted the other quarterbacks are Cooper Rush, Daniel Jones, and then Jalen Hurts. But it's like, quarterback? You did this to us.
I was enjoying the guys before Monday Night Football last night arguing about that, and I think it was Alex Smith. He was like, "How can you can't just put this all on the quarterback?"
Alex Smith was upset,
and it was like they were going back and forth. And I'm like, you know, we say this all the time, like, you know, both of you could be right. It could be the quarterback and the rest of the team too. Like,
It is the quarterback, but it's like for him to just throw his, I mean, defensive coach throwing his quarterback out of the bus.
Yeah. Not a good look.
The Commodes, ladies and gentlemen, the Washington Commodes. Let's talk some college football because I got some things to say. Pete Futak is here, ladies and gentlemen, from collegefootballnews.com. How you doing, Peter?
First of all, you pointed to the exact problem. It's the Commies. The Commanders, it's the worst nickname next to the Guardians. That's their problem. It's nothing to do with Carson Wentz. It's that they blew it on the nickname. Secondly, fantasy lovers love Carson Wentz and have no problem with him. And third, he's the one quarterback who I think could probably get a roughing the passer call, and they'll let that slide at this point.
The 2 years which it took him to come up with the name Commanders is just
ridiculous. In Washington, D.C., you're the Commies. Nice, nice.
Everybody,
nice timing, guys.
I refer to them as the Commodes, but like in D.C., people are like legitimately calling them the Commodores. Like it's so funny. It's like spreading like wildfire.
First of all, the football team was the greatest nickname ever. If not,
they should have kept it.
Washington Hogs. That would have been cool. We would have got it. We would have gotten the bit. But the football team was great. But it's kind of like college football playoff. It's like basic, cool. It's but I digress.
All right. Well, let me ask you a few things. One, I was just telling people, I bet this weekend on Saturday, I bet Max Duggan to win the Heisman at 100-1. Am I A, Michigan, B, you know, maybe good value bet, or C, on to something?
How about this? He's very good for a very good team and a very good conference. I don't think he's winning the Heisman, but right now, who is? I mean, if it's right now, it's not going to be Bryce Young because he's been too banged up, and that's going to be Bryce.
Right now, it's Stroud, or
let's see what Caleb Williams does over the second half of the season, because USC is going to be a bigger and bigger thing, and if they keep winning, he's going to be in the mix for this thing. But Duggan's been great. TCU's been great. But, like, that's the wild thing about the Big 12 this year is who's your bad team? You know, who's your easy out? At the moment, it's Oklahoma, you know, because if Kansas is good, you know, West Virginia's all right. We'll see what happens. If Kansas beats Oklahoma this week, that's the crazy thing about the Big 12 is Oklahoma's the worst team in the conference.
I told you. I brought it up. You were kind enough to have me on the BetQL show with Gabe and Alyssa over there, and I absolutely said that about Venables.
You did.
Like, this is going to go bad really quickly. And it has. There's your Heisman odds, by the way. Stroud is the only one in minus money, minus 130. Everybody else is double digits, beginning with Hendon Hooker at 11-1. He's deservedly the number two guy.
I love him. Yeah. I finally, America's figured that one out because he was great at Virginia Tech. He didn't actually get the starting nod at Tennessee to start last year, and then finally Tennessee figured it out. He's just a very, very good quarterback.
Duggan down to 55-1. Here he comes.
They heard you, and all of a sudden, everyone's hammering on it now. Yeah, he's been great.
All right, here's one other thing I want to say. So everybody's correctly talking about that last play for A&M, where they had no chance whatsoever on the doorstep, goal-to-go situation to score that touchdown and beat Alabama. Even if the pass is caught, it's a low-percentage pass, even if it's caught, he's not getting in the end zone. Bama wins it 24-20. Second time this year where Bama's just getting stupid fortune.
First of all, did you see Nick Saban did a thing real quick that he diagrammed that play. He had a show. And he diagrammed every aspect of the play. You want to talk about getting in the mind of the genius? It's on Twitter somewhere. You can find it. Getting in the mind of a genius. He had every aspect of that play mapped out with every guy's role to the point where it seems so simple. Obviously, it's not. But the play went like that because Alabama's defense designed it to happen. It was really brilliant stuff.
Okay, but here's my point. Not about that play. My point is that when Alabama was on offense before that, they are snapping the ball with 6 seconds left on one down on the play clock. They're snapping it with 9 seconds left on the other one. I thought Nick Saban's supposed to be some kind of genius. They don't have those 15 seconds. A&M doesn't even have a chance to win at the end. By the way, it also happened in the TCU-Kansas game. TCU ends up having the game-winning drive, but TCU, one play, they're snapping it with 23 seconds left on the clock. Like, instead of thinking to themselves, maybe our win probability goes up if we score later and leave Kansas very little time. Now, it did end up coming back to haunt them, but if Kansas had come back, it was all on Sonny Dykes to me. And Nick Saban should not get a pass for this either, Pete.
No,
why are college football coaches this ridiculous?
They all have their moments. I mean, as genius as they are on a lot of these things, they all have their fallible moments. I mean, the all-timer for Saban was leaving Tua in way too late in a blowout game and him getting hurt, and that costing them a shot at the national title. You know, so, yeah, they blew it. I mean, for whatever reason, for all the things that they do right, That's one of those messes that they absolutely had to clean up. But on a larger level, when it comes to Alabama, that's three now. They've only played three really good teams this year. Texas could have gone the other way. Mm-hmm. Arkansas, they struggled with for three quarters, and they had the explosion in the fourth where it all went off. And now Texas A&M. Let's see what they do against Tennessee. Does Alabama show up this week? Is this where we go, okay, Alabama, now you're good? Because at the moment, what's kind of getting underplayed here and is that Alabama and Georgia both might not make the college football playoff. It's not this guaranteed thing because look at the rest of Alabama's schedule. It is absolutely brutal. If they keep playing like this, there's a loss somewhere along here. Georgia could drop a game somewhere. The SEC championship loser is not going to be guaranteed to get in this, especially when Clemson looks like it's going to be at least 12-1. Ohio State's just screaming towards this. You could have Michigan or Penn State end up being 11-1. And I'm saying the Pac-12 champion, Oregon's rocking now. Duh. If they rip through their schedule, which they look like they might be able to do, they could be 12-1 and win the Pac-12 title, or UCLA or USC, and a Pac-12 champion. The college football playoff has never taken a two-loss team. So Alabama is not this guaranteed thing to get in the college football playoff with the way it's playing.
Well, let's start there. Alabama's at Tennessee. Alabama's a 7.5-point favorite. Might this be the week where they do lose?
Is Bryce Young healthy? You know, and it just comes down to that's such a different team with him. He is the MVP for what he does. He saved them against Texas. He is that good. And is he right? If he plays, is he going to be okay? Is he going to play? That at the moment, because it's early in the week and we don't know, that 7.5 is pretty cheap if you're going for Alabama. Because if he's playing, that goes down to about 5 very fast.
Penn State at Michigan.
It goes up fast.
Penn State at Michigan, battle of undefeateds in the Big Ten. Michigan favored by a touchdown, by 7.
That's a lot. Michigan's playing really well. Penn State's got all these young talents, and they're starting to get a whole lot better. I think Michigan wins, but I think Penn State keeps us close in a dogfight, if not win outright. That's just a little too much to give away. I'm going with Michigan at this point. And again, the key to this game is the winner of this game. You've looked at the rest of each of their schedules. It's who, as long as they don't get absolutely annihilated by Ohio State, the winner of this game at 11-1 can still be in the mix of the college football playoffs. This is a massive game.
Oklahoma State, TCU, real quick. TCU favored by 4. I might
Oklahoma
have an
State against your beloved Max Duggins. I'm going to go with Oklahoma State that they just kind of find a way to rise up and win this, even though TCU's playing really great.
I knew you were going to say that. USC.
I'm sorry.
USC, Utah. Pac-12.
This is my call. I'm the one driving the USC to the college football playoff party bus just because of that schedule, but this is where they lose. I think that at home, Utah is just a completely different team. That, as we said last week, they're now 1-10. On the road in their last 11 games against teams that finished with a winning record, but at home, different animal. Utah wins this.
Mississippi State, Kentucky in the SEC. Mississippi State favored by a touchdown.
What do we got with the Kentucky quarterback situation with Billy Blue Jeans, with Will Levis there? I think Kentucky keeps it closer than that, no matter who their quarterback is, but you got to wait and see. Depends on where you love on this. Look where the line is and plan on Levis being iffy at best.
All right, on the way out then, beyond those games, the one you like the best this Saturday.
I'm getting BYU at home. They're only giving away 2.5 points. We're not sure on KJ Jefferson yet for Arkansas. He's supposed to play, but not sure. Even if he does play, BYU is a completely different animal in Provo. I'm going with BYU.
Yeah, KJ Jefferson, I believe I saw available, but not confirmed that he will play yet, whatever that means at this point.
Pete, aren't we all?
Appreciate it. I want more scrutiny on Nick Saban. I want more scrutiny.
I'm always happy to dog him. I'm not dogging any coach. Not infallible.
Thank you, Pete. Pete Futek, everybody. At Pete, FIUTAK, collegefootballnews.com. Jason Weingarten on baseball and football next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20. MGM Resorts, located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks. When you wager with BetMGM, sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Kelly, you want to do a pro tip of the hour? Should we do that?
Let's do it.
Don't be afraid of waiting for a game to pass before jumping in on betting series prices in the MLB playoffs. This, of course, applies to the NBA playoffs, the NHL postseason, whatever as well. But take these best of fives, for example. Let's say you have some pre-flop conviction on, I don't know, the favorite, let's say, and you're not really quite sure about game one. Well, maybe wait. Maybe get a more favorable price on Team X after game one to win said series. You can also do it with a dog as well. You can get even more ridiculous bang for your buck if you feel they might lose game one but still come back to win the series. That is your VSiN pro tip of the hour. Applies to all postseason.
I mean, it's also how we attack live betting very often.
That's
too,
correct.
Right? I mean, that's what I did with the Chiefs last night. They fell behind. I took a piece of them on the money line, and yeah.
It's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every single show. I've done the math. That means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers, only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. That's actually a good add-on to that. That's kind of what we do, like in a basketball game. Yep. As you said, team falls way behind. Hey, let's grab them around, kind of thing. Not exactly the same thing, but similar. We get tweets, by the way. I just want to read this one, Kelly. This is from Primetime Action silent producer Ryan Hyatt at Ryan Hyatt Media.
Oh, man, he helped us out for 2 years.
Listening to another epic segment of Guessing College Football Lines with Kelly Bidlin on VSiN with Gil. Again, I feel like I'm deep within the bowels of a sports book, listening to hardcore odds makers put together their craft, a pure treasure.
It's basically the same thing. Basically the same thing.
It's like, it was like Richie Baccalieri and Chrissy and Jimmy back there doing lines.
How insulting that would be.
let's get to it. Under a cloud of smoke in Southern California, he's the host of the Wide World of Weingarten podcast, and this is his time of year. It's Jason Weingarten. How you doing, Jason?
Terrible this morning, Gil. I just I tried the wrong side of first inning. You know, I was telling you I have this account that lets me wrong side first innings for $100.
Yes.
And it moves it across all these different books. And I had a sneaking suspicion this was happening because I made a couple bets yesterday, and I noticed that there's usually like a timer when I try to confirm my bets. Now there's no timer. They've taken me off the, you know, whatever they have me on that moves the lines, and I can no longer wrong side props for $100. And they've taken away my golden gun.
Let's define for newer bettors what you're talking about wrong siding. So what Jason was doing, ladies and gentlemen, you'll correct me if I'm wrong here, Jason, is he had a conviction. He wanted to bet a first inning a certain way. Yes, he wanted to bet a run will be scored in the first inning. But Jason had an account where he knew that if he bet a little money, he would influence the general market, and then he could go back and bet it at a much more favorable price with the true bet that he wanted to make. Is that an accurate assessment?
Yeah, they had me a max $100 on props. Anytime I bet a prop, a hit run error line or a first inning or whatever, bet it for $100, they'd move it like 15 cents, but they'd move it across the entire back end.
Wow.
So, you know, I'd spend $100 on the wrong side and a lot more on the right side, and now they've taken away my,
the golden goose. These things,
what are we going to do?
These things are never forever, Jason. You know it. They're never forever.
I got almost the whole baseball season out of it.
Well, you had a good run, I think is what we
had a good run.
Had a good run.
Four one out.
Before we get to your baseball thoughts on the day and what you've bet, what you're thinking about betting, you have a Jerome Boger rule in the NFL. You talked about this on the Wide World of Weingarten. Can you explain?
Yeah, so this has been kind of bouncing around my head for a while, and you know, this weekend wasn't the first time I've seen a game go sideways on a ref influence call late, and just leaves a bad taste in your mouth when that happens. And you know, like Rob Pozzola always says, we bet real dollars on this league. We bet a lot of money on this stuff, and it's just been long enough now, and it's not the first time I've had a bet influenced by Jerome Bogar's crew, that I think just from now on I'm gonna get the ref assignments each week, and I'm going to throw out whatever game Jerome Bogar's crew is on. I don't care how big of an edge I have on one side, how much I like the play. I'm not going to bet more than $500 on a Jerome Bogard game. And I think the only way you can really get change in the NFL, because obviously, you know, getting angry online and complaining only goes so far. We still watch the rest of the game. But I think the only way to really get the NFL's attention is to see a noticeable handle drop on a certain game compared to everything else. So, you know, I'm going to contribute to that by not throwing my money at Jerome Bogard games anymore.
So,
and it's
so two things. Jerome Bogard was the head ref for the Tampa Bay-Atlanta game, the one where Grady Jarrett was called for the controversial roughing the passer penalty, which kept the ball with kept possession for Tampa Bay with the football. Atlanta never saw the ball again, so preventing them from a chance from having a shot at winning the game on offense. Did you bet that game? That's the first thing. Is that what made this trigger?
I did not actually bet that game.
Good.
But I've been in that situation so many times that it's just, why bother with the being upset? You know, why let that ruin a good betting day? I'm just not going to bet Jerome Bogard games anymore.
The other thing is, could you imagine if you, Jason Weingart, arranged an entire betting public-wide boycott? What the odds of that happening? Like, yep, we're not going to bet anymore and protest. We're not going to do this. I like that you're voting with your dollars on it. Good for you.
Yeah, I mean, I got plenty of other stuff to throw my money at every day.
Okay, baseball. Just maybe the greatest day of the year. It's the greatest betting month. It's the greatest month. I love October. It's the greatest. But we have four big favorites today, arguably the best day of the year in terms of betting. Football on the weekends, baseball during the week. We got four today. What have you bet so far?
Bet the Braves-Phillies over 7.5 plus 105. I think you could get 7.5. You get some 7 juiced minus 125 probably. I played the over 7.5 plus money. Guardians, I bet the Guardians. I see that's dropped about 10 cents or so overnight. I still like it. I like the Guardians. I like the Guardians series price. Mariners, I have not bet the Mariners yet. I see that line keeps going higher. It's over 2-1 now. I tend to think this game is the kind of game, if you like the Mariners, you should play them game one. If they lose, you're going to get a much better series price. No need to lock in the series price today when you're getting 2-1 on the dog in game one here. And then Padres, I got nothing on the Padres-Dodgers game yet. I'm super, you know, heavy on Dodgers pennant futures and stuff, but I don't really see a reason to lay the Dodgers, and I'm certainly not taking the Padres.
Now, how much of that is because you have those Dodgers futures? Like, if you didn't have the Dodgers futures, might you bet the Padres today?
No.
Okay.
Not. I mean, they flew in. They got in at like 4 a.m. yesterday, straight from New York, going to play the Dodgers. Not much I like with the Dodgers starting Julio Urias. I don't think the Padres.
Why did they get in at 4 a.m.?
Are remotely in the same tier competition wise as the Dodgers. Like, you know, the Dodgers beat them in the division by 22 games this year. You know, you hope the Dodgers are going to take this series seriously still, but in their minds, you have to kind of think that they're thinking that this isn't really a playoff series. This is just them getting a bye to the next round, which is always a, you know, bad way to think, you know, that you've already won before you've won. But, you know, Dodgers and Padres are not remotely close to, you know.
Why did they get in at 4 a.m., Jason? They had all day to get in town. Why did they really get in at 4 a.m.?
Yesterday at 4 a.m.
Oh, okay.
Not this 4 a.m.
I was going to say.
So they flew straight from New York after Sunday night, so they got in.
By the way, the other pet peeve I have is, like, Kelly and I were talking about this off air. Baseball clubs need to have the overly enthusiastic celebration at every round, right?
So the
Mariners acted like they won 10 World Series when they won that series against the Blue Jays, and the Padres were kind of like, okay, we won.
It's sort of the act like you've been there before kind of thing. I agree. It's only one round. Don't get
you won a Super Bowl parade like 5 times during when you make the playoffs, and then after every round until you win the World Series.
We won a best of 3, baby.
I'm worried I'm going to be sitting here putting shoes on my head every time I bet a Mariners game the rest of the postseason. Now I guess that's the thing to do.
All right, real quick, as you go out, are you going to have 4 yes run will be scored in the first inning bets today?
I don't see why not. It's early in the week. I can always win that money back if I lose it. It's just credit.
Yeah. And if they're going to put up those numbers, man, you can't not bet it.
Yeah, I love the Phillies one. Phillies Braves at least plus 120 out there. That's the first game. Starts in about an hour.
Yeah, about 90 minutes from now, I believe. Can't wait.
Yeah, it'll be a good day.
Oh, great day.
Go sit on the couch and watch some baseball today.
Enjoy, Jason. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me on. Talk to you later.
Enjoy. Lombardi Line is next at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.